All right, welcome back to the Offset Podcast. This is episode 3.
Yep.
This is episode three of the podcast that we're going on. So my name is Ian Messina, followed by Greg Farnham.
We'll be talking
about, this one's interesting, when you should be making no money as a filmmaker.
Yeah, there's two kind of sides of this that we talk about in this. And one of them is when you're first starting out as a freelance or video production company and you're just trying to build your portfolio. And then the other side is when you're already in the industry making money and you're just not doing something that you're passionate about. You're kind of getting burnt out and you want to have a little more purpose behind what you're doing. And we talk about all of this in today's episode. So I hope you guys enjoy it. All right, let's just do the first one. When you should be making no money.
When you should be making no money.
Yeah.
This one's going to be fun because I think, make no money on shoots sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, me too. We were just talking about a shoot the other day. Actually, a lot of shoots recently that we've been trying to plan. We're just doing them because we want to do them and not necessarily because there's like a financial gain to it.
Yep.
I think one in particular that we're looking at, there's this... this Ocean Alliance, which is like a nonprofit that we recently just heard talk at a drone film festival.
Yeah.
Because they use this drone to collect whale snot and they do some really cool stuff, but they go out on expeditions. On
I know that sounds kind of crazy, but yeah, that's exactly what they do.
And whale watching and stuff like that. And we're like, yeah, that sounds awesome. Like, let's go shoot something with that.
Yeah.
So we were talking with them and we're still working out the details and figuring out when we're actually going to shoot. But like, that's one of those cases that like we're doing stuff where we're getting paid lots of money, but there's still those jobs that come up that's like we just want to do it because we want to.
Yeah,
it's fun,
and that's ultimately I think where it starts, right? Even for me, like there was no money involved, and it was more of just like, oh, this is a camera, and I want to see what I can do with it, how far I can push it, and that's all that really mattered. So adding money into the mix, obviously, it needs to be a conversation at some point once you're in this long term. But the whole like when you should work for free thing is something I think a lot of people struggle with. It's something I struggled with, like just starting out and then understanding when it's right to make money or when it's right to be like, okay, I'm going to give my services out to show people what I can do. And then hopefully this can, you know, turn around. That's sometimes what I think people hope happen, but there's another time where it's just like, hey, you know, a couple of your buddies just really have a passion to put this project together, and you know it's going to be a good time, so you should jump on that. You know, money shouldn't be a barrier when it comes to creating something that you want to create.
Yeah, I think there's a bunch of different times when you should be making no money, probably more than there should be for making money.
Yeah,
but one of those is like you just said, like when you're just starting out. So I think that's a prime time when. Obviously, you don't want to try and like undercut the competition devalue sort of like the job that we're doing and we're getting paid for. But when you're just starting out, you kind of have to.
Yeah.
People don't have that trust in you. You don't have like the portfolio to show people. So starting out and building your reel is a really great time to work for free.
Yeah.
And find those jobs that some other people might not want to do or people that don't have budgets and you're just there to like help out. It's a great way to sort of get your foot in the door and also, yeah, start building up that portfolio that you can bring to people and show them like, hey, look, I did this. Now I can do this again for you, but it's going to cost this much money.
Yep. And again, make that in a way that once you get past, once you are doing the thing that you know you can do and you can charge for it, there's a whole other conversation is don't be undercutting people just to get the job. If somebody has a job, you see they have a job, they're in it. Like that's something I think we don't talk about. We need to talk about more is how you respect other shooters and what they're doing. You know, if a company comes to you and they're like, hey, you know, we worked with this person, we're looking to go a separate route, that's a totally different story.
Right. If they're not liking the creative or something like that. But if it's a total financial thing and you're just like, oh yeah, I can come in $1,000 under him
and cut him out. Yeah. And that honestly ruins relationships in the creative industry too. I've seen it happen. Like buddies will be friends, you guys will be working, you're on the same project, and then you see, oh, well, you know, the client comes to you, oh, somebody can do it cheaper, and you're like, oh, who? And then a month later, you see the guys you're working on the set with. You're like, guys, come on, like, we're undercutting each other, and again, it has to do with us as creatives not having, like, a rule book, you know? Like you go to restaurant industries, they all have it figured out. They all know how much a steak costs. They all know how much this costs. Obviously, there's different levels,
right?
And just like there's different levels here, but understanding, don't undercut people just to undercut people to get the job, because you're honestly going to hurt yourself in the end, in the long run, because
everybody's going to look at you as the cheap guy. They're going to keep coming to you like, oh, you did it for them for $1,000. Do it for me for $1,000. Like, I don't want to pay you $5,000 now or whatever the project budget is.
So you keep spinning your wheels there. Like, you just kind of keep doing that. And people, like you said, people are going to know you for the cheap guy. And I don't know about you. I don't want to be known for just the guy who can do things for cheap.
And if you start like building yourself in the industry as like the cheaper guy, and you actually start getting some really good skill, and you're like performing on what you're saying you're going to perform on, and you're like putting out really good products, then other people in the industry who are looking to get work done are being like, oh wow, that's really high quality, and it only costs them this much, so why are you charging me $20,000? So it doesn't just hurt you, it hurts the whole industry. It hurts the whole thing. And that can be a really hard thing to deal with as you're growing and sort of coming out of your like starting out or building a portfolio and trying to figure out when you should start making the transition to charge more and understanding like what your value is.
And again, that could be also, especially for me when I was younger, I had no clue what I should be charging. There was no guideline for me. There was nothing. Mm-hmm. Like, I felt like Googling things were always a tough thing to look up, because you got this guy who's been in the business and is working with ad agencies saying, oh, you should charge $1,000 a day for your service, but then you got, you know, some freelancer like, oh, I charge $50 an hour, and then you're like, all right, by project, by hour, there's all this confusion. So and I don't think there's 100% a right way to do it. Everybody's gonna kind of have to figure out where they sit, but there definitely should be kind of a guideline to be like, listen, once you're starting out, when you're putting your portfolio together, you know, this is kind of where you need to start out, and then go from there. And it's all about giving a fair price and delivering about what you say you're going to deliver on.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of up and down as far as how, you know, that what's that saying? You either can get it done like cheap, quick, or high quality. Yeah, cheap,
so
quick.
You have three of them, you can pick two.
Yeah. So which one are you picking? You know what I mean? If you got cheap and you're quick, you're not getting high quality.
Yeah.
You know, if you're high quality and you're cheap, it's going to take a long time. And then, you know, you can mix that around as far as you want. But I think even having that as a rule of thumb is great to have, to know like, hey, I have high quality, I'm not fast. You know what I mean? So you can price out for that. But people have to have expectations, and it's kind of up to the creative to set those expectations for the client.
Definitely. Do you have any sort of like any rules that you go by, or like how did you, when you started coming out of the free work and you started charging? I mean, we can get into specific details too, because I have my own thoughts on this and sort of how I got into it. But what's your way of like, okay, I need to start charging for this.
Yeah.
And what you actually started charging, starting out and then growing into like where you are now, and how you sort of raised your prices over time, I guess.
And so I guess we'll go back to the first one, I guess, that I've charged. Like, it was going back, I was shooting stuff for free. I remember one time, so after the project was done, and I was young, I was just like, had a GoPro and I think it was an A6000 or no, 6300 at the time.
Sony.
Yeah, Sony, right? And so I was shooting for this guy, and like, we had done 3 days, you know, and this goes down to confidence too. This is where I really messed up. He goes, all right, so like, you know, what can I expect? And don't do this. Don't go into a project, shoot it, and then talk about money.
You gotta have that up front.
That's what I did in the beginning. And I choked up, and I was like, oh no, I think you're good. And I didn't charge him anything.
For three days of shooting
and then editing. But it was just because I was excited about learning. Like, I just wanted to make a good impression, you know. Mm-hmm. And the big thing is, and again, everybody's like, oh, you know, this is going to be great for exposure. We'll get you, you know, everybody says that. And, like, I've never actually seen anything convert. Like, and I don't know if you have. Have you gotten everybody? And I guess it's different for you because the exposure that, you know, working with Lens Pro and all that stuff has helped in, like, you building their brand. But as far as if you're a freelancer, and this is where I got screwed a lot in the beginning, is someone was like, oh, yeah, I'll pay you an exposure. Like, people are going to see your name. But no one really ever kind of comes up with that unless you, like, you tag your name at the end. But even at that, it's different.
Yeah.
So I guess to come back around and answer the question, when I first started out, it was just my time. I would go, all right, what do you need done? Let's say it's a simple like music video. It's like, okay, I think I can get this done in this many hours, and I'm going to charge you like $300. Like, that was it.
It's a lot more than I started charging.
Yeah. It was first started off as like $150. I'm kind of getting a little bit, because in the beginning it was random, but I'm saying once that
you figured out sort of you're like, okay, my time's worth this much.
Exactly.
I need to start
So in the beginning, like, everybody's like, oh, should I do by hour? Should I do this? And again, if you charge by hour, it's kind of tough because you tell the people, hey, I'm going to charge by hour. And they go, and you go, oh, by the way, this is going to take 4 hours. And then your client goes, well, I think we can get it done in an hour. And then you're like, no, we can't. And then they're like, well, yeah. Let's just do an hour. You know, and you're like, all right, I think we can get it done in an hour. And you agree to that. And then you end up only getting paid $25. And by the way, you know, you're stuck there for another 2 hours because, oh, everything went wrong. And then at the end of the project, you're like, yeah, I mean, so you're only going to charge me for that hour, right? And like, these are real conversations. I'm going to be honest, like, these are real conversations that I had.
Mm-hmm.
And, but this is starting out. This is not knowing your value and not knowing where you stand. So that was the beginning.
And figuring it out before the shoot.
Yes. Like, that's, figure your money like, situation
if they
out.
If they can't afford to pay you, then they should go with a student who's coming out that wants to get exposure or whatever that. If you are that student going out and getting exposure, sure, you might want to do it for free, depending on what the project is.
And that's totally fine. Just make sure everybody knows where they're at. You don't want a student coming out and trying to take on a $30,000 budget doing it for free to show they have chops.
Right.
Like, then you're undercutting the market. You know what I mean? You need to make sure you're in your specific, you know, you're kind of climbing that. And again, there's some people who jump that. They spend all the time learning, and then they're like, all right, I know
what the
price.
And they're ready to go.
Yeah,
they go right
so
into
I,
it.
I mean, that's kind of where I started, and we can keep going deeper. But when you first started charging, what was there any sense of pricing stuff out?
It was basically like minimum wage. Like I was just doing. Usually, it was like $10 an hour.
Okay.
Is what I was charging. So I started out. I was doing like a couple little like local commercial stuff for like family, friends, and things like that. They had businesses, and I was like, oh, I'll just do like a couple videos. It'd be like $100 for the day, something like that. Then I got into weddings with the production company Waves Media, which is where we actually met on some of their productions. And I was doing $100-$150 a day for. At the time, I was living way up in northern New Hampshire, so it was like a 2-hour drive to get down here.
No way.
I was shooting a wedding for 8 to 10 hours, depending on what it was, and then a 2-hour drive home afterwards, and I was charging $150. Like I barely made my money back.
Back on gas,
just on gas,
and like
to like drive
yourself
down there.
Oh my gosh! Yeah.
I mean, at the time, I didn't have like gear or anything like that, so it was really just my time coming down. But I was coming into it with like I need to get practice and exposure and like get in the industry and start doing this stuff. Weddings are a great way to do it. I don't do weddings anymore. That can be a whole other
podcast topic.
Why people get out of weddings. But I mean, there's great money there. So especially if you're starting out and you want to just like jump into the freelance and have it as a full-time thing, weddings are fantastic. People are always getting married and it's a great, great way to get in there. You get really quick at shooting and having a lot
troubleshooting
of
quick. And some people love it too. There's some people who will get into it and stay in it. And there's a bunch of people out there who absolutely love it and that's great. And you know, try it out. But again, there's a thousand reasons why some people get out and you know, that's a different topic, but so I guess going from there, after that, when was the first time you've actually started seeing, all right, this is how I should probably charge. This is the conversation I should have. And money, talking to a client, it can be stressful. It can be kind of scary the first time you do it.
Yeah.
So how do you kind of handle yourself, you know, middle stage, kind of understanding your value? You probably have some equipment. Where'd you go from there?
So I didn't do a lot of like direct to client work. So most of the projects that I worked on, I ended up going through production companies.
Gotcha.
So Waves Media was one of them. I have a company now, New Sky Productions, over in Southern New Hampshire, in Nashua.
Yeah.
I have Gradient Films just outside of Boston. They're in Somerville. So just like a couple of these different production companies. And when they have projects come up, they hire me. So that was sort of the next step after just doing these like one-off weddings here and there. I got in with a production company and dealing with rates, it was really great with them because I built a good relationship. So they understood my skill level and stuff like that. So it wasn't as much negotiating. It was more they would call me when they had budget for the job, which is, I think, a great way to get into it, especially if you don't know like the business side of it so well.
Yep.
If you can get in with like a couple different production companies and just freelance or contract work for them, that's a great way to like get on a lot more jobs without having to like actively search, because they're doing all the legwork of finding these people and then they're just getting you when they have the money to pay for you.
Yeah, and they already know, because that's another thing,
and they know the skill, they know what you're capable of, they know what you're producing,
they know how much it's going to cost,
and having that relationship with them over time, they obviously, like, as their business grows and their portfolio gets better as a company, they're going to be taking on higher paying jobs, higher paying clients, and that's going to sort of trickle down to you. So as they start getting into like, they transferred from weddings specifically into commercial work, and with that there's quite a big like money difference, because people are paying $5,000 for a wedding video and they're paying $15,000, $20,000, $30,000 for like local commercials. And so that money kind of trickles down to you. So you're like, okay, well, now we're doing commercial work. And sometimes like they'll even say like, oh, hey, this is a higher rate because we have the budget for it. And we want to pay you because we know you do good work. And then you just get that rate. And then you're like, okay, well, now I'm just going to stick with that rate. I'm not taking anything lower than that. And
you just slowly build
it up over time. And eventually, I mean, like I've been doing it for 7 years and I went from $150 a day to on some of the productions, I do $1,000 a day. And that's because I have the skill and the knowledge and the background, and I'm able to like operate all of this high end gear for these commercial projects, and they understand the value in that. And they're getting the clients. Sorry, my phone.
No worries.
And they're getting the clients that can pay it.
And
it's great working that way.
And again, it is that like, hey, how does this feel? You know what I mean? If at the end of the day, and this is kind of where I got to, I got frustrated with myself because I kept taking those $300 projects knowing I should be making more. And I was just like, all right, you know, the first one I was like, all right, we'll do this music video, $300, you know, let's do it. And you work, you know, and then I was sometimes spending a week on a project and you divide all that time out and I'm making like
less than two bucks
an hour. And I'm like, wait, what is going on here? Like, you got to understand how to value your time and understand once you get to a certain point. And this is the whole conversation with if you do charge hourly, it could become an issue because say you charge, let's say, $50 an hour in the beginning, we'll just give that as a rate, and then you keep getting better, and something that used to take you 10 hours is now only taking you 5.
Now it's hurting you.
And that means your rate should go up, you know? So you need to honestly set guidelines for yourself and know how you're feeling. And so once, you know, you go through a project and it's done, you ask yourself, all right, you know, from a money standpoint, was this worth it? But also from a time standpoint, was this worth it? Did I have a good time? Was I enjoying myself on set? And that's what's cool about with what you're doing is because you know when you're showing up on set, you know what's going to happen. You know where your role is. I think for a lot of freelancers, like how I did it was clients would just come directly to me and I would have to figure that out. And so it first started off just like taking all my gear, like a Ronin M and like the A6300 and being like giving them a package price. But I think really where you start separating yourself and when you really start understanding, you know, how to price things out is price yourself out and then price your gear out.
Yeah. It should be two separate things. Because a lot of productions, like if you do it going in with gear, then you start working with bigger production companies or agencies and they have their own gear or they have their own crew and they're just hiring you for a specific role.
Yeah.
Unless you're being the whole production company that's bringing all of those people, they're most of the time going to be getting their gear from somewhere else. They're going to be getting it from rental houses and they're going to be pulling in that higher end cinema stuff that most people don't want to purchase because it's hundreds of thousands of dollars to get all of that gear.
Or even grip. You know, grip comes in and they have a grip truck.
A whole truck.
A whole truck, you know? So, and again, this might go into something else as far as like, depending on who you are and what skill set you have, make sure you know what you're pricing. And it also makes you more aware of what's going around. You know what I mean? Like, it makes you more aware of, all right, I can get, you know, $25 to rent out this camera and I can get, you know, what, $30 to rent this lens out, and then you can kind of see how it changes, see how your gear develops over time. You know, then you start buying cinema glass and all this other stuff, and you can understand that, okay, now I can get $150 for this piece of glass, and you can start to, you know, actually, and make sure those are two separate things, like you said, because if somebody just wants you, you should already have that number in your head. Or if somebody is like, and it could work out, like this has happened with me, is like you have buddies who are in the film industry and they'd rather rent the piece of equipment from you, and you can just give them a straight answer and be like, hey, that's it, you know? So it's giving you kind of guidelines and rules to follow.
Definitely. And going back a little bit to talking about like hourly or by like project or day rate, I would highly suggest going day rate and not doing the hourly. Similar to like what you talked about with it being like less beneficial, because if you're getting paid hourly, you want to work slower. You don't want to work fast. You don't want to you want to spread that out so that you have as much hours under your belt when you go to charge the client.
That's true.
And it's
it could
not
be
necessarily
a weird conversation.
A better project.
Yeah.
So like that's actually something good to bring up to clients if they talk about wanting to do hourly with you. Is okay. Well, if you want me to do hourly, that means you value my time more than you value the product.
Okay.
Right? So if you value my time, that means the longer this takes, you're going to pay me more, which means that's more value to you for me to make this take longer.
Yeah.
If you value the actual product or the end result, you want that done as fast as possible. But if I do it fast, now I'm not getting paid as much. So you don't value that as high.
Mm-hmm.
So you really want to look at it on like a per project basis or on a day rate.
Gotcha.
Depending on where you are in the production. Most of the time, like if you're crewing, if you're being like the DP, director, stuff like that on bigger projects where there's multiple crew, you'll want to look at day rates. And then per project is more if you're like manning the whole thing. If you're the production company behind it and you're kind of covering everything underneath that.
Yeah. And the hourly thing could be an issue, going back to what I said about making sure the budget is done up front.
Mm-hmm.
Because
they can't know.
You don't know. But, and again, if you say, all right, you know, let's do this $25 an hour. And let's say, hey, I'm going to estimate this takes 10 hours, but it takes 15. Now you have to go back and have the money conversation again. And that's... Yeah. Can be frustrating for clients too, because they go, oh, I thought like this is exactly what it was. Well, you know, we said hourly. And like, again, if it goes the other way and you get it done 3 hours in advance, like,
then are you going to go to them and be like, hey, you got it cheaper?
Yeah, exactly. And again, that gets to the like, all right, is this morally okay? Is this morally acceptable to do this? But again, if everything can kind of be upfront, it's all about expectations at the end of the day. Everybody on both sides needs to know what value everybody's getting, you know, and it happens to be that money conversation, you just need to have it more. You need to have it more and try and make it not awkward. Just kind of go up to the client and be like, hey, by the way, we do need to talk about budget and I'd love to know where you guys are at. You know, if they're thinking, you see those videos, just like client expectations versus client budget.
It's like they want this amazing like cinematic masterpiece and then it's like this little scribble on the paper or something.
Or like they want like the full gimbal set out and the guy got like PVC pipe around.
This DIY bungee cord. And stuff.
And again, this is going to be, I think when pricing, you also have to take on, you're educating the client. If you have a new client coming in that has no clue what any of this costs and they think, oh, I can get a video done that looks top end and my buddy told me I could get it for $200 and they're coming in thinking they could get it for $200.
Tell them to go to their buddy.
Yeah, exactly. They could do that. But also you could be like, by the way, like take on a little bit of educating them. Be like, by the way, like this is what a normal rate's going to cost. If you're looking for us to do it and do it right, you know what I mean? This is what it's going to cost. If you're okay, you know, using somebody else and hoping that the final product will come out, then you can go that route too. But we've talked about the creative and we know we can pull this off 100%. It's all about risk. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's risk mitigation.
Yeah.
They'll pay more if they know they're going to get a product, because they're not going to want to pay somebody that's going to not deliver or have it be a total waste of time and money and resources for the company or something like that, especially with smaller companies because they don't really know. Most like small companies, especially starting out, if you're working with like local businesses, they don't know what this stuff costs. They don't have marketing people. Like they're just small business owners, just like you are starting out.
Yeah.
And they don't know what this costs. They just see an end product and they want that result. And if you can give that to them, you need to educate them on why it's costing what it is and that you're going to deliver to their expectations. You're not going to be like, oh yeah, yeah, sure, $500, we can get this amazing thing.
Yeah.
Because even if it only costs them $500, if it's still not up to their expectations, it's going to be a bad experience and a bad relationship between you and that company or that person or that business, whatever it is. And that's going to hurt you in the long run, because that could be a client that could be on repeat that might get more videos done or whatever. And now they're not going to, because their expectations were met. You didn't deliver on what you said.
Yeah. And reputation's huge too. If you take what we just said about the whole education thing and then you abuse that and go to the client who knows nothing, oh, this thing that really is only going to be $1,000 is, oh, you know, this is going to be $2,000 and everybody knows it's $1,000 and your client is unhappy with that, and your reputation will sink fast. And reputation easily gets tainted faster than it gets, you know, brought up. Because, you know, I mean, you look at Yelp. Yelp reviews are all bad. Like, nobody likes leaving great reviews. It's more of, hey, if this person gets ticked off, they're going straight to the review site.
Yeah, they're leaving it everywhere they can. They're going on your Facebook page. They're going on your Instagram. They're just going to hit you up. This person's terrible. Don't use them. Yeah. And it's hard to come back from that sometimes, especially starting out, because people are going to look at you like, oh, yeah, we need to hire somebody new. You're going to be like, oh, put in my application, whatever. Mm-hmm. If somebody's, you get an email or a referral, and they're going to go and look at all your pages, your social media, your references, stuff like that, to see if you're worth working with. And if you have all these bad things, they're going to be like, nope, we're going to go with somebody else.
Yeah. And in the beginning, I think for me at least, it was all word of mouth. And some of it still is. It still will be. A lot of the stuff, especially if you're starting out, will be word of mouth in the beginning. It's going to be like, hey, I did this video for this guy. You know, first video, hey, I did this music video for this guy. Your buddy knows another guy. I had a great time filming with this guy. And you go from there, you know? And if that first – we talk about making a video is there's way more into making a video than just, you know, shooting it, going and editing it, and then sending it out. That whole client experience definitely needs to be talked about more because if the video came out great but you suck to work with, you're not going to get the call again.
You're not going again, yeah.
No. And that's kind of looked past by a lot of people. People are just like, oh, yeah, you know, I'm the best shooter in the game, but they don't understand that you're awful to work with on set.
Yeah. And a lot of clients would prefer to have somebody that works with them and sort of tends to their needs because ultimately that's what it is. Like delivering the most amazing product is not like the whole picture. It really is like dealing with the client and making sure that they're happy throughout the process. Because if they're happy and the end product is, it's still good. You can't obviously deliver a terrible product.
Yep.
But if it's not like the most amazing thing, but they had a great experience and they had fun doing it, they'll come back to you.
And you guys get better. And again, if you balance both of those, if you have an amazing product and you had a great experience, I just think like everybody's always about like, this needs to be amazing, but they neglect the whole client perspective of actually working with you. And I'm still working on this too, you know, getting back, emailing people back quick. You know, people love that stuff. Yeah. And checking in on them. Hey, how you guys doing? You guys need any help this, you know, giving them more than they actually expect, you know, and don't go crazy overboard and like promise all this stuff and then it doesn't happen
because
that's where it goes backwards.
Things you can actually deliver and not over promising and under deliver under promise and over deliver on what you're saying you're gonna do,
because that'll give you a little bit more wiggle room at least, because like if you're like, hey, you know, we've actually had this happen on a past shoot, they're like, hey, we need to shoot this as quickly as possible and get this out ASAP, and then you know, 2 months later the project's still not done, and like I don't know what that looks like from a client perspective, but it's definitely like, come on guys, like this was supposed to come out, you know, weeks ago.
Yeah, they were rushing us actually as the production crew. They were like, we got to turn this around in like 2 weeks. So we shot it in 3 days. We went back like in post that same day at the end of the shoot. We unloaded it, started editing the following week. And now it's been pushed back almost 3 months.
Yeah.
And we've had some behind the scenes that we've been trying to release for it. And I mean, good thing it's not on us, it's on them. But it makes us not want to work with them too. Like the, I think that relationship goes both ways. Like you need to have a good experience with your client as well, because you're gonna mesh better and you're gonna have more creative ideas that you can build off of and come up with really cool like concepts and projects. That's gonna help both brands. Like you will have your style of shooting go in there more, and they'll have a product that they think is better than what they thought of.
Yeah. And again, as you take this and as you look at how this pricing goes, you can take that and understand in any industry. You keep doing that for grip. You keep doing that in lighting as far as like their talents and what they're offering and what gear they're bringing. And also their network. Who can they bring? Who do they know that can help this project get along? And again, at the end of the day, everybody deserves to get paid what they're worth. You know what I mean? It's frustrating when you see larger, higher-end agencies going around and not paying people what they're worth, you know? Because at the end of the day, they're selling so much. You know what I mean? Yeah. If it's a good product, they are selling what they're worth. So if you are creative and you are hiring on other creatives, always make it at least a top priority to have that conversation and go, listen, guys, the budget isn't great. It's tough this time, you know? We're just putting it out there. Or if you get that big budget and you're like, hey, you know, we got a great budget. We'd love to pay everybody what they're worth and then some, you know?
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, make up for it a little bit when you have the budget.
Here and there. And again, just treat everybody how everybody wants to be treated. Like, that's so huge on set. It's so frustrating later in the night when everybody's trying to get home and then you got one guy who just snaps and then, you know, the whole everybody's like, oh, everybody doesn't want to get yelled at. And it's just like everybody kind of shuts down a little bit. So you're going to learn this and you're going to go on some bad shoots. You're going to go on some good shoots. But ultimately, at the end of the day, you got to take away what you learned that day and then go, all right, what was good? What was bad? How can I personally get better myself? You know?
Yeah. I think I have something that came in my head sort of off topic. Yeah. It's kind of in the same vein. Like there's three things that you should look for when you're getting on a new project, and you should always try to have two of them. But at least that's how I've looked at it. So one of them is networking. So you should look and see, are you going to make good connections on this shoot? Is it like a good chance to, yes, maybe you won't get paid that much on this one, but the company is doing bigger projects and stuff like that that you could get pulled on for those like national broadcast spots or something like that. The next one is pay. Obviously, if it pays really well, that's a great reason to do it. And then the last one is if it's something that you're passionate about or it's just a fun project.
Gotcha.
And I think this is something you can balance. If you can get all three of those, that's like...
You're in your gold. That's the spot you want to be.
Those are the shoots that you want to be going for. But if you can try to get at least two of those on your shoot, so really think about like when you get asked onto a project, really think, does it hit at least two of those marks? If it does, then it's a project worth going on. So if you can build a good network and you get paid really well, that's awesome.
Yep.
If you can make a good network and you can like have a fun time shooting it with people that you like want to shoot with, it sounds like a great shoot to me. If you can get paid well and you can have fun doing it, great shoot. Even if you're doing it with a bunch of people that you already know and you're not really meeting anybody new or building any connections.
That's actually great. I'd never known that one, but if you balance that too, because if you do a bunch of paid ones and those other two categories aren't, you know, there, you are going to burn out like that. It's going to happen.
Hate it, and you're not filming stuff that you want. If you're just doing a bunch of interviews or in the case of a lot of people, like they do weddings. Money's great. Terrible, like networking, because you're not really meeting other creatives and stuff. You're not working on a team. It's very solo. And what was the last thing? And you're not having fun doing it. In most cases.
So you got to balance them. And that's where the going back to like, what shoots should I get paid for? Sometimes you just need to shoot something because you need to understand why you got into it in the first place. That's at least for me, you know, like I go back to some things that are fun, because ultimately if you're not working at your highest potential, then like, why even do it? Like you're, and again, there's some days you're going to drag along and you're not going to be able to, you're not going to feel like you're working at 100%, but you do need to make sure that I love how you have that balance between those three for sure.
And I think starting out, I think you can kind of forget about that a little bit when you're wanting to do stuff creative or experiment.
Okay.
Like we just had a shoot recently with your sister who was doing the painting thing. Didn't make money, didn't network because it was just me and
just
you.
Like
we were just hanging out. But it was fun and we had a good time shooting it. And it gave us some like a chance to really get creative and play around with shots and things that we normally wouldn't do on like a commercial project. So starting out, I think it's huge to try and focus on that too, and the experimentation side of it.
Yeah.
Because if you can do something cool, maybe it's the 20th thing that you try. That could be the thing that lands you the next gig that you're able to shoot that kind of content on or whatever. And you'll enjoy doing it. You'll get paid for it, and you'll probably be building some network and hitting all three of those.
And so when you do look back and you go, hey, you know that move that we tried when we were shooting that painting? Let's implement that here. You know, you're going to be able to, like you said,
build skills.
Build skills. Like even at these higher levels of shooting, you do see the best of the best still trying to get better at their craft. And it's when there's a lot of pressure and the client's looking over your shoulder, you're not going to whip out this random idea that you have. You know what I mean? Because you got to make sure you get the shot. So you're going to go back to the things that you know work. But if you really want to get creative, you want to get like, hey, how are we going to be able to pull this off in a different perspective? That's where that worked, where, you know, I was opping the Movi and you had the Movi controller and we were just, hey, how can we go around this and whip over here and go to the paintbrush and to the canvas and then do her face.
And
you
do
know?
This whole like tracking move that you'd normally need like robotic arm or something to do, and we were able to do it with
And we did it,
Movi.
What, 6 or 7 times? Like we didn't pull it off the first time, but we got it, you know, but that was giving us that flexibility to actually try something new that we hadn't done before.
Definitely. I think we got to wrap this up.
Yeah.
I think we're getting close. We're at 28 minutes now.
I think those cuts, but, this was, there's a lot there. I hope you grab something out of that.
Grab some little nugget that you can use for your project or for building your business or pricing yourself.
Yeah. Cause there's not a lot out there. And again, we can go into more detail in the future, or like we say, if you have any questions, always feel free to hit us up.
Definitely reach out on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. I don't really use Twitter or Facebook, but Instagram's great. You can check out us on YouTube as well. But if you have any questions, leave those down in the comments. Check out the show notes. There'll be some links talking about other things. And that's going to wrap it up.
Sweet.
Cool. We'll see you guys in the next one.